Well, let's get right now over to Israel and into the center part of Judea and Samaria, a place called Shiloh. It has a great historic, prophetic, and geographical background that is so key to us understanding what is happening and the issue that I'm going to discuss with Winky Madad. Winky Madad is a journalist. He has a blog. You can read that. If you come to our website, we have a personality report about Winky. You can see where his blog is. You can read editorials that he does for several newspapers, including the Jerusalem Post. He works with the Menachem Begin Heritage Foundation or the Convention Center, whatever. But it is a great joy and a privileged opportunity to talk with Winky. With this background, you know he comes to the table with information we need to understand. And Winky, I did that setup not to make you feel big-headed or anything. That's all true. Everything I said is absolute. You have a wonderful background. Plus, I could give much, much more. But I think suffice for what we want to talk about. There has been the second of the Palestinian prisoner releases that Prime Minister Netanyahu went ahead with. There was opposition in his own government, even in his own coalition, against the release of these prisoners, these Palestinian prisoners, who most of them, or maybe all of them, had Jewish blood on their hands. They were murderers. They were terrorists in some way, shape, or form. First of all, tell me why Prime Minister Netanyahu felt obligated to release these prisoners, and then we'll get into who it was released and some other questions I have for you.
Well, the background, as far as we can understand, that despite his declarations that he wanted to engage with the Palestinian Authority representatives with unconditional negotiations and discussions and perhaps leading to some sort of an arrangement or even if not a treaty, then an agreement, they would not come to the table unless they got something first. And Jimmy, I'm old enough, and even you're old enough to remember dozens of years of these type of steps demanded by the other side, in which we always have to give first in order to even not get anything, because all these talks eventually break down. And we won't go into that reason right now. But the element was that Kerry, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, said, you have to give me something. And he agreed to release a certain number, I think it's just over 100 or so of the prisoners, all of whom, as you said, either killed or were in groups of terrorist attacks on Israeli citizens that did kill or, and for sure, injure people, but had all been sentenced before the Oslo Accords. For some reason, this was viewed as a, shall we say, element that could forgive them because they were in there before the Oslo Accords went into place. I don't understand, Jimmy. I'm humble enough to say, there's some things in this political world that I don't understand.
Well, this is something most of the world does not understand. I would be in your camp as well. I don't quite understand where they're releasing these murderers. I can see if somebody had committed some type of civil crime, but when you're talking about capital crime, murder, you don't release these people back to the public, probably to go out and do again what they were put in prison for in the first place. Now, these are these notorious prisoners? Do we know about them, or are they just the run-of-the-mill terrorists that have been put in jail?
Well, some of them are, I wouldn't want to say famous or even infamous, but because so much time has passed, they're not that well-known outside of people, unfortunately, like me, who have to follow these things in order to be on top of the issues. As we have the phrase in Hebrew, they have blood on their hands. And the issue is that not only should they continue to be punished, but especially now between the first and second phases of the release, they are to be released in four phases. We've gone now through two. As you and our listeners probably know, over the past 2 or 3 months, there has been an increase of terrorist incidents, And more importantly, when a young Arab sees that he can get out of jail eventually, he will not be hanged or put to the electric chair or given any other chemical to put him out of his misery and, more importantly, out of our misery, then there are people who are extreme and fanatical enough to say, well, I will engage in killing or trying to kill Jews. Eventually, I'll get out.
Wow. That is the main problem. What's the body politic of Israel? What's their reaction to this?
Well, usually politicians don't, unfortunately, take steps to lead. They usually follow public opinion. And public opinion over the past 2 to 3 weeks has been very, very negative about this release. As you say, it encourages the feeling that perhaps you can get away with it one way or another. But there is still an element in Israel's electorate and citizens who have a strong moral feeling. It either stems from the religious belief system that we have been educated in, as well as other issues of what human life is supposed to be valued. And continuing this, first of all, without an agreement, because nothing has been signed, and as I mentioned, with these violence of shootings, grenades even being thrown, Molotov cocktails, and people being killed, it's a moral stain on politics. You mentioned I work at the Menachem Begin Heritage Center. More than any other recent Israeli prime minister, Begin was always driven by values, by a morality that he tried to instill in his politics one way or the other. And Israelis are very much upset by this continuing giving in without any sort of quid pro quo.
Well, that's not only the case, but how in the world does anybody think this will advance the peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians?
I really don't know, especially after, in both instances, a month and a half ago, a little bit more than a month and a half ago, and this week, they're received with festivities, parades at night, with sympathetic newspaper reporters and television reporters interviewing them and portraying their supposed bad conditions and growing up with all their siblings outside while they're on the inside and being seen as heroes rather than someone who has erred, someone who has taken someone's life or tried to, and to be shunted aside with no publicity whatsoever.
Yeah, that is ironic that they would be celebrated after they are released from prison for murdering Jewish people. Well, I've got to tell you, Winky, the other day I was reading in the ancient prophet's book of Ezekiel, where he said in the 35th chapter that those in Mount Seir were going to be punished. And the people in Mount Seir, according to the book of Genesis 36, would have been where Esau took his descendants and went over into what is lower modern-day Jordan, the place called Petra. But he said in that judgment pronounced upon what I would conclude by my studies would be the Palestinian people of today, one of the reasons they were going to be judged is because they killed their brothers and then took their land. Looks to me like we're in the foreground of watching and looking out there and seeing what's happening prophetically in the near future, does it not?
Absolutely, Jimmy. Beyond the political aspects here, I always argue with my political and ideological opponents that you are supporting a people who still live in a culture in which honor killings and other elements of values that have not yet fulfilled themselves according to what the true Judeo-Christian ethic based on the Bible, on the teachings that raise mankind up, they have still not reached that. And it's still a level and a gap of not only of consciousness of political aspects, but of morality and ethics and values of human life that we still have to overcome in this process we are undergoing.
And for sure, we can see God's word telling us what's happening today as a prophecy of the near future. And these prophetic passages, the scenario found in Bible prophecy written by the ancient Jewish prophets, will indeed be fulfilled. Winky, thank you so very much for your input. I gave you what I thought was a very nice introduction, but very fitting to the background and even some other things I left out. But it helps us to realize you have understanding based upon experience, and you're just not talking off the top of your head. Thank you so much, my good friend, and you know we'll have another conversation in the future.
More than welcome. I'm beholden to you and grateful, and good night to you and our listeners.